KFNC, Mont Bellevue, Houston, ESPN 97.5.
That's what we call ourselves, sort of like a team.
A Gao Media Station. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, what do you know? 1 hour to go on the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5, 60 minutes on the clock, give or take, as we take you till 4. Blitz takes you till 7. Fred, AJ, and Aaron. And all you got to do is keep it tuned right here to 97.5, the number one sports station in Houston.
I don't know if you guys know this or not, but there's a tropical storm named Barry.
Boy, I guess so.
Literally, someone posted that on my Facebook.
This is like your Kelvin Cato moment.
I'm just saying that it's getting old. My buddy Ted Vincent goes, "You're a tropical storm."
I'm loving this.
Keep, Ted?
At Barry is funny. Keep up with the tweets.
Of course.
I can't believe Nick's not just texting the show. I just really don't.
Because he don't want to get his own number blocked to his own show. How awful would that be?
I'm surprised I'm not blocked already, because I used to do that when he was doing Game Day.
Well, oh, yeah.
I used to, like, bug him when I was like...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I should block you. You know what? I'm just going to add a rule. Blocks your
producers
number right
blocked.
Away.
Yeah. All of them.
Ruined spelling. It for everybody. Forget, Barry's moved on. Forget spelling. Now, if you mention you and the
hurricane,
you get
blocked. Yeah.
That should be
the new rule.
Yep.
Jason Smith said he got $7.42 on his first fill-up through Get Upside.
There you go.
That's badass. I'm saving that. That's going in the next read for sure. $7.42.
For sure.
That's crazy. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Hey, don't you know you
oh,
betcha.
Oh, baby. It wouldn't shock me if Clowney shuts it down after a big signing a big contract. I think he has that reputation. I just don't know if he deserves it. I don't know.
I'm with you.
I'm saying I don't know if he fully deserves the reputation.
Oh, I don't know.
I think he got the reputation coming out of college that, you know, people were saying, oh, he takes plays off. And that's the case. And sometimes you'll watch him and he doesn't look like he's giving max effort. What was that for?
I think you're forgetting one in particular. Forget the plays off. Remember when he was supposed to be hurt and nursing a concussion or something, and he was supposed to be staying off a road trip, and they found him at a casino in Louisiana.
Okay. What's wrong with that?
You
can't live your life. You got to stay at home and be a hermit.
You're missing a game because you are.
So you can't play. You're in the concussion protocol. Your faculties may be there.
I don't remember if it was concussion or not, but I thought, I mean, you're supposed to be.
Well, whatever it was.
Rehabbing 24, as much as possible, maybe not 24 hours a day, but you're supposed to be rehabbing because you're supposed to be on the field because you're in season.
How do you know he wasn't rehabbing while he was there? How do you know he didn't go to their spa and their gym and work out?
You go and look and see what the videos and the things
was
that
he,
people were.
Was he dancing on the dance floor, or was he sitting in a slot machine?
I can't say that.
Or playing
I wasn't
poker?
There. Well, I'm not going to say that, but I will say that if I'm on the IR or I'm going to have to miss a game, because and I can't play and I need to be rehabbing, I shouldn't be at a casino. That's my personal opinion.
Okay.
All right.
I disagree. I think let that dude live his life. It's kind of like the people that got upset that if you lose the Super Bowl and you go out that night.
Or Harden.
What am I supposed to just sit at home and cry? I get that it bothers you, but damn, I'm still going to go live my life. You know how many millions of dollars these cats have? I'm going to spend that money. Somebody said Nick is right. O'Brien can't coach offense. His system doesn't make anyone better. Well, I would tend to disagree that his system doesn't make anyone better, but I will agree that their offensive line coaches don't make any of their offensive linemen better. Yeah, I do agree with Nick on that.
We were talking, specifically developing. And look, I want to be wrong on that, so I don't want to like, because I know.
No,
that
I think you're right. I think you're right, because that was your point specifically, was about the O-line.
Developing, yeah.
Not about offense and doesn't
Correct.
Make players better.
Correct, 100%.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't think this coaching staff does a good job.
Did he not change
even say
his
adequate?
Did he not change his O-line coach a year or two ago? Maybe last year.
I don't. You know how bad my memory is.
Yeah, I thought they might have, but I'm not sure. But overall, look, the track record states, especially lately, they have not done a good job. Xavier Asuafilo, one, they did not do a good job by just drafting him. Period. But two. Obviously, they weren't able to develop anything.
Somebody said, "Why is Joel so angry today?" Yeah, that's a good question.
shut the hell up. I'm not angry.
I don't know. I feel like you could just...
That part didn't do you any justice.
Which is why I did it. But people don't understand sometimes, too, that we do things intentionally.
Absolutely.
Barry, why does Adam Clanton keep busting your balls on Twitter? I don't like it one bit.
Because he's a vagina. That's why. He tweets like a girl. Get off Twitter, bro. Get off Twitter. That's why. God. And what makes me so mad is that I actually like Adam Wexler. Every interaction I've ever had with Adam Wexler.
Love
Wex. Wex is a great dude.
It should be Adam and Amanda is what it should be.
It's still the A-team.
All right. I'm not gonna say it anymore. We'll just move on.
I'm just letting you rant.
My bad. I cut you off and that's disrespectful.
No, I have. Well, I'm used to it. I'm used to it from both of you. I'm trying to take the high road on this one and have some fun with it. But there will be a point where...
Why are you wearing camo today?
There will be a point where I would get pushed too far, but I'm far from that point right now. How about that? So
I commended you. Handled it well to this point.
I don't want to punch down.
I think you sucked. I don't think you handled it well at all. I think you should have went right at his ass.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you say donkey punch? What?
No, I didn't say that. Oh. Did y'all hear that the Golden Nugget and LeBears are making all of their rooms free this weekend?
I don't think they're doing that.
Golden Nugget sounds fantastic. I wouldn't mind. Are you talking about Louisiana?
Hurricane Badass coming through?
Yeah, yeah. I don't think they would do that for like free because you run the risk.
Well, you're still going to gamble.
I get it. But you're still going to make money off of that. But people could like vandalize the rooms and everything else.
But isn't it like an insurance or like a FEMA type of... Like,
I just think for a lot of reasons, I can't see them doing it for free.
Are they doing it so that people have a place to go, or are they doing it because they don't want to lose business because the storm hits this weekend, so they think the incentive would be people would still drive there?
Again, like Clowny gambling there, I don't know for sure what he was doing, what was going on. I just know that, like Nick said, from an insurance perspective, from a liability perspective, from the run the risk of what could happen to the hotel. And also, by the way, if a hurricane is coming directly at you, I don't think a very tall hotel is the best place to be with a bunch of high winds and storms.
Like, can I get an interior room?
Yeah.
Near
the basement?
No window. No, I want to not near the basement. That floods first.
Well, it also collapses, but either way, you want to be up on the top floor.
Those buildings ain't going to collapse. It might blow in the windows. That's what I'm saying. Give me an interior room near the top. I'm good.
Near the top.
Yeah.
All right. You want to rock with you, baby, because you're going to be swaying up there.
Somebody said the room will be free, dummy. What are you talking about, dumbass? We know the room will be free. That's what we said.
Yeah.
The room is free. Pay attention. If you're going to text in and call us a dummy, don't be a dummy yourself. I'm going to need you to pay attention.
Barry, don't be sensitive. You're such a diva.
That's right.
God. I'm sensitive AF, so let me have my time.
You really are.
And what am I today? I'm angry.
You're angry.
I'm angry.
I don't know how to deal with it. Twitter's up. Yay.
Well, I'll give you more ammo. It's coming. I'm sure. Okay. So we got a lot of the Texans out of the way. This Westbrook trade, the interesting thing to me, because I wanted the details. So I hear that Brian Windhorst comes out and he says that the Rockets are trying to work on a three-team deal to acquire Russell Westbrook. Okay, fine and dandy. You can say that, Windy, but give me the details. Are they keeping Chris Paul? Is he part of the deal? Because the two scenarios that I painted in the Sports Map article that I wrote is, are you trying to get a three-superstar team, keep Chris Paul, and run the risk of having to give up PJ Tucker, Clint Capella, Eric Gordon, draft picks, and other things? Or are you trying to hang on to all the supporting cast and trying to trade Chris Paul's contract? You get one more year, but with a younger guy, and you hope that Westbrook is more productive with Harden.
I'm gonna be honest with you. The only way I would do that deal is I would not team up Westbrook, Harden, and Chris Paul. I just wouldn't do it. But if you're telling me that Paul was part of the deal and Westbrook replaces Paul, I'm in.
Because you're already going to pay the final year of the deal $44.5 million for Paul on the final year of his deal. So $47.5 million for Russ is not going to be make that much more difference.
And he's a lot better.
A lot younger and a lot stronger and a lot more physical. Yeah. But again, he's not as good a shooter. So the question
is, he can still put up points. So, which is, if you need scoring, you can still get scoring.
He's a scorer, not a shooter. I agree with that. But again, I was going to ask which scenario is better and which would you guys go with, and you answered it in terms of your opinion. The other thing that would worry me that you didn't mention is there's already not enough ball to go around when you hear about how much everybody gets mad, like Gordon, Austin Rivers, and Paul were upset with how much James had the ball. But if you put Paul, Westbrook, and Harden all on the same roster,
right?
There's unless you add the rules changes and you add a couple of different basketballs to the scenario, so there's more balls in the game. I don't.
Well, that was the point when the whole rumor started that I made was, look, you've got one guy that's ball dominant. At least Chris Paul, he's trying to run an offense. He's trying to create a flow.
Right.
He's trying to get Clint Capella involved to set up the pick and roll, which is going to set up the wing players to be open, P.J. Tucker in the corner. And obviously, you know, you have James Harden running his isolation, which has proven to be effective, although it slows it down. So there's all of that. But if you just have a guy that is the pivot point and really isn't looking to get guys involved as much as a true point guard like Chris Paul is, because you got to give him credit. Both Russell Westbrook and James Harden get their fair share of assists. So they're not ball hogs. They're just ball dominant. And you can't have two guys that the offense runs through them unless you're going to ask James Harden to start being a spot-up shooter.
But here's the
question. Right? That's the only way that this works is you say, okay, James, Russ is bringing the ball up. He's good. Everything pivots through him, and you're now P.J. Tucker, and you're going to stand over in the corner and wait to get the ball and shoot threes. And he's not going to do that.
All right, let's continue this because I got another. Because the other thing that I got for you on this scenario is one that we haven't talked about yet, but kind of still debunks even what you were
saying.
I
just said? Okay.
Yeah, so we can get into that.
Okay.
If you guys want to join us, 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. You can call that number, you can text that number, or you can hit us on Twitter. It's the final hour of the show. It's The Usual Suspects. It's ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
Results may vary. Call for details.
You've been thinking about LASIK for years. You've heard how LASIK can be a life changer, and now there's
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, rolling through another strong show on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. As we take it till 4, Blitz takes you till 7. We were talking before the break about this Brian Windhorst report that the Rockets are in discussions in a three-team deal trying to obtain Russell Westbrook. We were saying we didn't know who the pieces the Rockets would send away would be. The one thing that we didn't talk about, Barry, because you're right, in order for it to work, regardless of who comes back, James Harden's still going to be here. So he's going to have to make concessions. Someone brought up the point, which is a very, very valid one, that when he's on USA Basketball, it's not like he's never done this before. He knows how to defer. He knows how to play a role. He just doesn't feel like he has to do it in Houston. But the point I was going to bring up, which bothers me the most about why I don't think, though I think this would be a get-off-the-hook card for Daryl Morey because it would be a big splash. I think that Tad Brown, who said, you expect we're going to do fireworks this offseason, because that's what we do now that we have Tillman Fertitta as an owner and they haven't done anything. I said a stink bomb and a freaking sparkler that was about to run out so far. But this would get them both off the hook and this would be a big move. But name me a team and a player, and maybe I'm missing it, that dominates the ball more than Russell Westbrook did for the Thunder and Harden did for the Rockets. And now you're going to ask those two guys who only know that way to play lately – that they're going to have to peacefully.
Two?
Yeah, no, just one guy. Is there any team in the league with one guy more ball dominant than the two that we're talking about in this trade? The Thunder with Russ and the Rockets with Harden. I don't think so.
More dominant than those two?
Or as dominant?
LeBron. I mean, LeBron for the Lakers last year was. When he played, he was significantly ball dominant.
I think deferred until big situations, then he took over.
But he was the pivot point, and that's the thing. Like, there's a difference between a point guard coming up and running the offense and distributing the ball and not really relying on him to be a scorer, right? But a guy like LeBron is going to bring the ball up.
Right.
He's going to look to get his. Well, he's a facilitator, but he's also a scorer, and that's what James and Westbrook are.
So because that's my point.
They
though.
Get their guys involved.
Right.
They get their assists, but they get their points too.
So that's my point. So now you're going to take, okay, we'll give you LeBron, right? So we'll say those are the three most.
And then Kyrie might be a guy.
Single person ball dominant. And you're right.
Kyrie might be up on that list too.
But I'll say this.
But that's
would
about
you
it.
Ever think about taking two of those four players and trying to say, play together and make it work?
Well, I mentioned Kyrie because look what happened.
He blew it up.
No, you had LeBron and Kyrie on the same team, two ball dominant guys that yes, they're going to get their assists. Yes, they're going to bring the ball up, but they couldn't coexist. Kyrie had to go and do his own thing in order to be able to play how he plays and what he plays, which is just like Westbrook and Harden and LeBron, in that the ball has to go through him. He's going to dribble it, but he's also going to decide who to get involved and when. Otherwise, he's getting his points.
I just can't. I don't see it working because not only do you have two guys that are so ball dominant, but here's the other thing. You have two different personalities. James is not going to be confrontational on the floor.
Right.
He runs from it. Whereas Russ is going to be in your grill. He's going to be on everybody's ass in that huddle, in that locker room.
But that's Paul, too.
But Paul's at a different stage in his career. I think if Paul was in his heyday, at the top of his game, people would listen to him more and they'd respect that a little bit more. But because of the ability that he's putting with it, I think even in that locker room, some guys were like, okay, that's Chris.
Well, I think a while back we talked about the article where there was reports from unnamed players or unnamed people in the locker room that basically said, yeah, Chris gets on something, he doesn't let it go. And some of the guys look at that and say, yeah, but you're not producing. You're talking all that and telling us what we need to do, but you're not playing good enough to back that up.
So as long
as the difference becomes Russ can and does.
If he's bringing a triple-double to the game every night,
exactly.
And he's going to be that kind of personality, James ain't going to have that.
Remember,
he doesn't like that.
I mean, who do you think, because there was the discussion going into this that, Chris Paul and James Harden were buddies. They were friends, and that's why it would work. Do you think that the relationship between Westbrook and Harden is actually better, tighter, and closer than it was between Paul and Harden? Because that could make a difference, too.
I think it actually, because of the fact that they both started out very young in their career together in OKC, I think it's deeper. I think that's better.
So you're basically the what you tried to accomplish with Paul may actually end up working better by replacing him with Westbrook.
Here's my counter.
Because you had a friend, you had a scorer, a facilitator, a guy that could give Harden a break if Harden got cold in the playoffs. You had another guy. That was why you had Paul.
But here's my counter to that, because of the fact that it's also something that you've been the one that's kind of started the whole dialogue about the fact that it all comes down to the fact that the two constants are James and Daryl.
Uh-huh.
The biggest thing is you tried this kind of move with Dwight Howard and it failed. Now you bring in Chris Paul, who's supposed to be a better friend. And whether it's failed or not, it's failing where it's at right now.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're going to tell me, well, if you get an even better friend, it could work better because of everybody's trying to appease James, but the one constant is,
well, hold on now.
James is the guy I lived through personally, the Dwight Howard stuff, and James blew that up.
Right, but let's go back for a second, because I don't know if it's exactly fair to say that it failed.
I said, is it failing?
Because, I mean, their first year together.
I don't want to say it's failed.
Western Conference Finals.
Yes.
Yeah. Seventh game.
Right. No, I'm
last
with you on
year,
that.
Obviously, you run into the Warriors again in an earlier round. And I think a lot of people feel like if they play, I think you might have even been the one that said it. And I could be wrong. It may have been somebody else when you were out. But if they don't see Golden State until, later in the rounds, they probably get all the way to the finals, if depending on how the seeding is. So
I said it, and I believe it. And I believe that's the same reason why D'Antoni should have gotten an extension. Because these two guys together with this team have done more than anybody has seen in a Rockets
uniform. So I wouldn't say failed.
Short of a championship.
I would say that, I mean, obviously the goal is to win a championship. But only one team does that a year. And there's only been one team that's really been dominant enough to do that. But unsuccessful, I think, they haven't met their goal of winning a championship and beating the Warriors, but they've done pretty well.
That's why I stopped short of saying failed.
Is there turmoil? Yes.
Yep.
And that could be the precursor to failure.
Right. And because of the fact that we see the landscape in the NBA now. Now it's not about a super team and three superstars, okay? No. But we see a whole bunch of teams that have 2+, and as we talked about, sometimes it's going to come down to who's your third best player? And is it better than the other team's third best player? And who's your supporting cast? But if you're the Rockets, you think, hey, just like if the Lakers were going to be the team that got Kawhi after they got AD with LeBron, that they would have a huge advantage. The Rockets are thinking, well, if there's a way to get three superstars together, we make a big splash and we give ourselves a chance. Because otherwise, because of the failing skills of Chris Paul, or at least on the downside of where he once was, and he's not what he used to be, that duo that the Rockets have in that backcourt, I saw something on ESPN today where they were rating, and on someone on Twitter, best duos in the league. In the year you're talking about when they won 65 games, short of Klay Thompson and Steph Curry,
they were.
Those two guys were it. Now you got Lillard and McCollum. You got all these different, you know, Embiid and Simmons, all these different
duos.
Poles with these duos, and the Rockets guys are falling further and further down. But if you want to stay relevant, you might have to make a move this big of a splash.
Yeah, I like it if this is – there's no way that Paul, Westbrook, and Harden can coexist.
No,
but
well,
I like it. I agree. I think you have to take that chance. If you can get a Westbrook, you have to make that move. I
think for a lot of reasons you do too, simply because you stay relevant, you stay competitive on any given night. Russ is going off.
Let's be real. There's really no more big threes now.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
So it's big twos, and your big two, like you said, is dwindling. It's a good move to put yourself back into relevance.
Because I brought it up to you, and I said, the new barometer for how good a team is who's your third best player?
Yeah.
If it's the Lakers, if it's Kuzma.
What'll be interesting in all this is if they do make the move and Paul goes and Westbrook stays and Gordon is here, is Gordon going to start, or do you save him to have some offense be able to come off that bench? Because I almost feel like you waste Gordon if you have him on the floor with two guys that are not looking to pass.
Keep in mind, because he made concessions when Carmelo came, but this is different. It's Eric Gordon's contract year, and he's going to want to get paid, so he's going to have to put up numbers. That's exactly right.
Yep.
All right, we've got a half hour to go in the show. We're going to continue to roll on. If there's something you want to get off your chest, you've got on your mind, call us, 713-780-3776, or text us to that number. You can also reach us on Twitter. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, half hour to go on the show. It's The Usual Suspects. ESPN 97.5 on a Thursday. Tomorrow we're going to have a Comedian of the Week. Can't wait to
hear
who that is going to be.
You're damn right we
are. That's a TBD. It's an F Yeah Friday, so we'll have lots of fun, and I don't know if we'll have football or not, but we can find some F words, depending on how Twitter goes tonight, that we'll bring up tomorrow if necessary.
Twitter is back.
Hey, we didn't mention this yesterday, but Rip Torn passed away.
Yeah, I heard the name. I know he was like a longtime actor in Hollywood, not familiar. I think Nick would know him. Wasn't he on Larry... Was he on
Not familiar.
Was he on the Larry David...
Men in Black 2.
Yep. Well, that would mean I'd have to see it after one.
Men in Black 2. Oh. He was in... what was it? Yeah, was it... Curb Your Enthusiasm,
Nick? Was he on that?
It was the Larry Sanders Show.
Larry Sanders. Yeah. Give us the impression, so I know.
Pretty good.
There you go. That's what I need.
David Nuno probably could do it better. He's a fan too.
Now I know the difference between Larry Sanders and Larry David.
Do you?
No.
He was in Dodgeball.
Was Larry Sanders Gary Shandling?
Yes.
Okay.
That's correct. Dodgeball. That was the one I remember. He was Patches O'Houlihan in Dodgeball. Outstanding role. I got to be honest, though. I thought for the longest time when I saw the name Rip Torn passed away.
Porn star?
No.
Oh, yeah. Honestly.
No, not
That's
a porn
not a porn
star.
Name right there.
I was thinking about somebody else who's kind of a flamboyant, and I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah.
But he's got like whitish blonde hair.
And he used to be comedian. On all the game shows and stuff.
He's a comedian. You know who I'm talking about.
I do. Big, he had the bushy mustache kind of Trump hair.
I don't know why I thought
No, his
that
name
was
is
Rip
something
Torn.
Like that. It's Rip something or other. I think you're right.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah. But he used to be on the old time game shows and stuff like that a lot.
Rip Taylor. Is that it?
That's him.
Rip Taylor.
Rip Taylor.
That's who I was thinking
of. I gotcha.
When everyone was like, Rip Torn died, I was like, oh, he's funny.
But I believe
I don't even know if Rip Taylor's still alive, is he?
I don't know.
Google says yes.
But if you IMDb him for his career, I believe Rip Torn had a long career.
Very big IMDb database, whatever. Yep. Where the hell did it go? I just lost the link to it. Here it is. Like, he's 191 credits as an actor. That's a lot.
That's a lot.
By the way, somebody had asked me yesterday on Twitters, and I'll just do it now. So I've been watching, I've been trying to catch up on the new comedy specials that are being released on Netflix. Mm-hmm. The new Mike Epps, I really enjoyed. A lot of folks.
I saw you tweet about that. I was surprised, well, honestly.
Yeah. A lot of folks don't like Mike Epps.
Well, the last one, I'm going to be honest with you, it wasn't that good.
Mike Epps has only had one really good special. It was the one in the, I think it was called...
I watched it. I remember the first 5 minutes being entertaining to me, and then after that, I didn't really
What, the last one?
The last Netflix one in particular.
Inappropriate Behavior was my favorite.
Okay.
That's the one. He's wearing a blue polo.
Is that a Netflix one?
No, that just came out. It was released in 2005. That's my favorite Mike Epps special. That, to me, captures what Mike Epps is all about. But I did enjoy this one. It was a little more... you know, I think he got back to some of what made Mike Epps good at stand-up to me. And it's weird because a lot of people don't like his stand-up, and I do.
I felt like he was funnier in movies. Yeah, I ain't gonna lie.
Yeah, and most people feel that way. And then I watched Joe Coy's special, and I liked it. A lot of people loved it. I thought it was good. I didn't think it was great like some people were saying. So that was the first two nights. And then last night I watched Aziz Ansari's new special.
He's back, right?
He's back. If you recall,
yeah,
he was in the news because a woman came out and said like he was forcing himself on her, mm-hmm. or he was making her touch his junk and do all these things on a date. And what I like about it is it was a very humbled Aziz Ansari. Like, he came out on stage, you know, got a standing O, and he kind of, you know, he does a couple things up front. I don't want to ruin it for you, but let's just say he doesn't waste any time addressing it.
Oh, good.
The only thing that I didn't recall him doing was actually apologize. That kind of left me like, you could have, if you really were remorseful.
Or is he really still going to take the high road but say, I didn't do anything wrong?
Yeah, well, he talked about, I guess I'll just go ahead and say it, but he talked about the fact that some people were like, my friends were like, man, it made me think about all the different dates that I've been on. And it was like, yeah, that doesn't excuse it. I can't. And then I'm going, was there ever a date where I put a woman's hand on my crotch and she pulled it away and I grabbed it and put it back? Never. I don't even recall ever putting a woman's hand on my crotch. If that's a move she wanted to make, she makes that move. I don't make it for her. So I was like, that's a little weird. But he did address it, and he said, you know, you could tell he was very humble and you know, it affected him. He was a little different on stage, but I also felt like there was a lot of hidden messages in his comedy where he was kind of addressing it. Like, he would talk about, oh, you know, 2 years, people change, you know, people get better. 2 years ago or however many years ago, I did a bit on R. Kelly, and now I look back and it's like, ugh, because he used to be like, R. Kelly's the man. Yeah. So it was a lot of hidden messages in it, but I actually thought it was pretty funny. So I think it's worth a watch just for it's a different kind of, Spike Jonze was the one that directed it. So it's a different, it's not your typical 2-3 shot from the audience walking perspective. Like, he literally, there's a guy on stage the entire time with a camera, and that's the main shot of the special. So a little different perspective too. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, there's your comedic review on Netflix.
You know why I brought that up? Because somebody asked me about it, because I was talking about the other two and somebody said, what do you think of Aziz? I'm thinking about watching. I was like, oh, okay, well.
Because I remember talking about when the whole thing was going down with the sexual harassment or whatever.
Sorry, yeah. I was shocked about that one. Yeah.
And then the fact, and even from the get-go, obviously he was denying it, and he was very vocal about it. But yeah, then he just kind of disappeared.
He literally explained, I think he almost explained the date, like what happened, where they went, right, and everything.
So, all right. So you're going to continue to, because, you know, you would, if you just cut your thing off.
What?
You could have a Netflix special,
too. I wouldn't cut my penis off to get a Netflix special. I might give you a testicle. One.
Don't think any.
Tom Green has one.
I don't need
Surviving.
Both. I believe Hitler
only had one too. If you really want to get technical.
Well, I'm not Team Hitler. So
no, you shouldn't be. Nor should you.
Not every guy with one testicle is a Hitler fan. Not saying. I just want to point that out.
Well, he said Tom Green. So,
I said no. I wouldn't cut my penis off to get a Netflix special, but if they said, can we have one of your testicles, I would strongly
consider.
You'd
go balls out? All right, so with that being said, Musa wants to get in here, talk about comedy special. What's up?
Yeah, I heard y'all talking about Aziz's special. I actually watched it last night, and I've been a big fan of him for a while. And to be honest, it was it kind of looks sad to me. He seemed like a broken man, like everything he was talking about. I just like he would get up every now and then, he'd be very confident, and then he would get like these very emotional messages. And I don't know, it was just, I felt sad after watching that. I don't know. Want to hear what y'all think about it.
Yeah, I appreciate it, Musa. It was one of those things where you could, like I said, he was humbled. And going through that, whether he denied it or accepted it or apologized for it or whatever, it changed him. And it changed him on stage. And I think he knew he had to come back, or if he was going to come back, he couldn't come back and act like it didn't happen. And he couldn't come back and be like, I'm the same crazy guy that I've always been. Because it does
change. But let me ask you a question, because you obviously do this, and you're the expert here on this. But that's the thing. When you're in any kind of front and center type job like that, mm-hmm. but especially because if you're a comedian or an entertainer, and especially in the world of comedy, you got to be able to be free. You've got to be yes. able to be, and we kiddingly say balls out, but you've got to be able to just go.
Yes.
So if you say, and Musa said, can you still do your job and be as effective when you have something that's holding you back or something that's changing what's kind of helped get you to where you were?
I think as long as you're funny, then there's nothing wrong with making people think at the same time. And there's nothing wrong with showing a more vulnerable side of you on stage, because people change in the business as they get older. I mean, when you look at George Carlin,
right,
what he was when he started to what he was when he passed, it's two different comedians.
Sure. But what I'm saying is...
So his style changed. So, yeah, he was funny and he told stories and he was still edgy. Like he was, but you could tell that what he had been through humbled him, and he wasn't exactly sure how he did. I think he intentionally, because he came out and he sat on a stool, and that was a choice. He intentionally made this a low key performance.
See, and that's the thing, but that's what I was getting at asking you. He was edgy. Now mm-hmm. all of a sudden he's taking the edge off to a degree.
Yeah.
So that's maybe why Musa and other people felt like that's not. Because that's not who they knew him to be. That's not what he made himself to be.
Yeah.
So now he's somebody else, and people are going to walk away disappointed. Like, until you got it all worked out and you feel like you're in a good place, I don't...
Well, have you Nick, you've said you've... were you an Aziz fan? Did you watch him at all?
I was. But
now, have you seen that stuff?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So do me a favor then. Just watch it. It's an hour. And you tell me, because I'm of the opinion that if you go through something like what he went through, and you can still come out and still entertain people, it's almost like it just matured him.
Okay.
Where he's not the silly comic that he was. And, of course, he was – I mean, the other word that I used was humbled. Like, mm-hmm. But you can still be effective. You can still be funny.
Sure.
And he was. He actually made me laugh out loud several times. I just asked
if you have to, reinvent the wheel. You worked so hard to invent who you were.
But he did.
Okay.
He absolutely did. That's why he sat. That's why, his closer was literally not funny. He literally just said, let's just all take a moment to appreciate where we're at right now and thank you for coming out. And that was it. Like, his closer was depressing.
And that's going to depress.
And that's probably why guys like Musa would watch that and be like,
turn people off a little bit.
Yeah. Just check it out. It was a very interesting dynamic to see him on stage after what happened.
Cool. You know what? If you're out there and you're in the Houston area and you are looking for a new energy provider, I've got someone you have to talk to. It's the people at Infuse Energy, led by CEO Josh Pesikoff. First and foremost, you're looking for a quality company that's not going to screw you over. They're going to take care of you. Well, the Public Utilities Commission of Texas has just given 5 out of 5 stars to Infuse Energy. And that's why I switched 2 years ago. The customer service, fantastic. But more so than anything else, what really matters most to you and what you really want to hear about, they have the best rates and the best deals, and they tailor make it just for you and your family or your business. Check them out at InfuseEnergy.com, or you can call 844-INFUSE2, 844-463-8732. Right off the top, you mentioned ESPN 97.5. You get a $25 bill credit, and they go from there. They ask you as many questions as you ask them, because they want to know when you use energy the most, when you use it the least. Is it weekends, weekday nights? Is it business? Is it for your family? And at the end of the discussion, you're going to feel really good about the program and the rate that they have for you. In most cases, they can beat any other rate out there, and they can lock you in. In the times that there's another company out there that can beat their prices, they're going to let you know. Because just like 100% honest friendship, they are going to be upfront with you and tell you if there's a better deal out there. Now, you may not go with them because of it, but you'll go back to them because you know you can trust them, and that's so important in business. It's 100% green energy at your fingertips and affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Check them out. Infuse energy into your life. Hey, coming back for the final segment of the show. Sorry, we're going to have to go after this. Having another spirited, fun, discussion-filled 3 hours of time. Hopefully, you guys have been entertained throughout the process. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel in the studio. We turn it over to Fred, AJ, and Aaron at 4. You...
I have good news.
...brought up Bagel Boy.
I have good news. Bagel Bites, we found his YouTube. If you don't know, if you missed the story, a 5-foot man who is really self-conscious about his height was... feeling disrespected in a bagel shop and started berating a bunch of women, belly bumped a guy that was a foot taller than him, and then got his ass whooped by a grown man who wasn't going to take his disrespect anymore. And so it became viral. And if you don't know, just Google bagel guy or, you know, whatever, and you'll find it. But he has a YouTube channel, and he's had the YouTube channel. So I've been scouring the YouTube channel the whole show. Finally found something worth posting. So apparently Bagel Bites guy was trying to sell his car and found a buyer on Craigslist. So they met. And at one point, things went south when the guy that was going to buy the car got arrested during the transaction.
I'm going to sell my car, and I get pulled over, and this is what fuck? This is what's going on.
I was trying to just buy the damn car.
Well, what's his deal? It's your husband. What's going on here? He told me he's bringing me cash.
Why are you yelling at me? I don't know what's
because going. I've never had a situation like this. I'm already having a bad
I didn't
day.
Either. Why are you yelling at me?
Because this is... stupid.
It's stupid.
The guy told me he's bringing me money.
Stop screaming in my
No, I'm not going to stop. You know what? Get the f*** out of my car. You.
Be yelling at me.
Listen, get the f*** get out of my car. I don't want you in my car. Get out of my car.
I'm going to get out your car. Stop yelling at me. I don't have nothing to do with your bad day. I don't have nothing to do
with you. Okay, well, this is fine. Well, fine. Can you please get out of my car?
Yeah, in a minute. I'm about to get out your car. Do not yell at me.
Don't talk to me like this in my car. You understand me?
Don't yell at me.
Listen, don't you tell
Don't
me what to
talk
do.
Talk to me like that.
Lady, get the f*** out of my car. Now. Get out. Get out of my car. All right, all right. I don't need any more of this s***.
Exactly.
My favorite part of the whole thing is, right, when you're watching the video, the guy is the guy that was going to, but she's in the back seat, okay? The front passenger seat is empty because the guy that was sitting there is being patted down and handcuffed in the background while he's yelling at the lady, your husband is getting arrested while I'm trying to sell my car. And the other voice you heard was one of the cops that was like, calm down, calm down. But my absolute favorite is he gets all calm. She's like, don't talk to me that. He's like, okay, please get out of my car. She's like, I will. Don't talk to me like that in my own car.
His intention was to kick her out anyway. He was just mad.
He was just like, how do you get triggered when someone got nice?
Yeah.
That dude is literally...
She actually handled it. She was actually less emotional than he was.
His YouTube channel is nothing but him looking for fights with bigger guys.
And yeah. He hates women.
What are you thinking?
He's picking them with women.
It's outstanding.
And yet then he's whining about the fact that he can't get a date and because of his height. No, it's not because of your height that you're not getting dates. Because you're an a-hole.
That's just outstanding. But who gets arrested during a buying a car transaction? That's what you get for trying to sell somebody your car on Craigslist.
And filming it. Who the hell would ever think that that would be entertainment?
That's the other thing, is this dude, when he gets in his fights there, he's filming the whole time. That's wild.
That's just bizarre, man.
But that dude also called himself the Martin Luther King for short people. The MLK of short people.
Listen, don't you tell me what to do.
That's insane. I could listen to a New York person get mad and angry and yell forever. It's so funny. I wouldn't even take them serious.
Angry forever anyway, but...
New Yorkers?
I feel like it.
Yeah.
Most of them are.
East Coast angry is the best angry.
And then you're like, why are you so mad? No, this is how I talk.
I'm not mad.
I'm just angry. Jersey people, same thing.
Yeah.
This is how I talk.
They just come across as seriously mad.
We used to have league meetings for the NBA in New York every year. and every, like, just walk, just crossing the street around Times Square, you were bound to see a shouting match because they ignore the walk and don't walk sign. They're going to walk whenever they want, but if a car cuts them off, they're going to punch the hood. They're going to start screaming.
Oh, yeah.
One time we took a van with all the people from the front office. Our guy driving the van, because they go 80 in the tightest spots ever. Our guy driving the van literally clipped two side view mirrors on parked cars and kept going and never even thought about stopping. And then got in the walkway of someone that was trying to cross the street. And that person punched the window and shattered it. And what? And the driver got out of the car and he wanted to go. He wanted to fight right there. And we're like, it's 10 o'clock. Can we get to the hotel? And what the hell happened? He had no remorse when he took off two side view mirrors, but he wanted to bust somebody's ass because he almost broke their legs running them down in a crosswalk. And the guy punched the window and like, shit. I was like, this is New York. I could never live there.
Yeah, I wouldn't. That would be difficult.
Like they get
intense. I would walk, I guess, but still.
Like Matt Bullard and I would literally just walk Times Square just to people watch.
Oh.
The fact that they get mad at everything.
They do.
And then it's an F-bomb express.
That's the thing is up there, you know, that kind of behavior really isn't out of the ordinary.
No, it's not. It's daily occurrence.
You don't really, like if that happened in Houston, it's a big deal for someone to lose their mind like that. But out east, it's a whole different mindset, I guess.
It's like I told you, even at Yankee Stadium.
I guess it's the craziness of the big city like that.
Like, you know,
you're a victim of your surroundings, bro. If everybody's aggressive around you, you're going to be aggressive.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
That's a good point.
Like, if Jake Asman was in here right now, he would say, you know, New Yorkers get a bad name and they're actually not that mean. And perhaps there's a bunch of nice New Yorkers, but I've always got that vibe. So I'm not trying to put a label on an entire city or state because that's not cool.
I will say this. Well, I will say this, though. Well, this was 98. Mm-hmm. I was traveling for business. This was when I worked for Cisco Foods. And we were in New York. And we had a day off, so we went to Yankee Stadium. And couldn't figure out the subway system and how to get to Yankee Stadium.
The 7?
Huh?
The 7
No,
subway.
Wherever we were, because I think we were in New Jersey. And we took a bus in. And then we had to take another bus. And then we had to hop the subway and didn't know what the hell we were doing. And kind of lost, confused. And this guy goes, hey, man, you look lost. Where are you trying to get? And I was like, man, we're trying to get to Yankee Stadium. I have no idea. He goes, come on, dude. I'll show you. And literally rode the train with us from where we were. Wasn't even going that direction, but took the time to ride the train with us and take us literally to Yankee Stadium like we were children.
He was from out
transplant.
Of town, by the way. Yeah, he was absolutely right. He was from out of town.
But first thought.
Got off the train with us and was like, it's right there. Just go down three blocks, take a right, you're Yankee Stadium. We were like, dude, thank you. He's like, no problem. Hop back on the train and left.
This guy was from D.C.
You think so? He's definitely a southerner in New York. But I just thought that was really nice, so don't label.
That was nice.
Everybody. By the way, Yankee Stadium was badass. And
old or new?
Old Yankee Stadium.
Yeah, I've seen them both, and the history that you felt, whether you love the Yankees or not, just the aura in that building, yeah. No doubt.
September, the wife and I are going to New England.
Oh.
At the end of the
Fenway?
At the end of end of September.
Catch
we're going to Boston. That's where we're going to stay. And the Red Sox are in town.
Oh, you're gonna love it.
So I'm gonna get to go to Fenway.
As soon as I buy my plane tickets,
I was gonna buy my baseball tickets at the same time.
I may be able to help you.
Yeah?
Yep.
Bet.
So yeah, you gotta see Fenway.
I would love to. There's three stadiums I've always wanted to see. Yankee Stadium, Fenway, and Wrigley.
We went there for marketing meetings and I went on a run and ran to Fenway and the security people let me walk
Don't
in
do
and
that.
Stand there.
Oh,
no,
really?
There was no game or anything. It was in like NBA season.
Uh-huh.
So I was actually able to see the stadium and everything and be inside of it. But to see a game there is still on my bucket list. I got to do it. Yeah. Lisa wants to do it. We're definitely going to do that.
That'd be dope. Yeah, I'll let you cool. know.
Yeah. All right. So tomorrow is the final day of the week, and it's also the final show of the week, and we are having a good time. Hopefully you are too. It's an FBF Friday. Can't wait for the Comedian of the Week and all the other things that are heading our way. So until tomorrow, we'll tell you all to have a great night. For Nick and Barry, I'm Joel. The Blitz is next right here on ESPN 97.5.